Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And now, are you effing kidding me? With JoJo from Juries.
So, since it looks like it's down to Joe Biden versus Donald Trump again, let's do some reminding. Dear Ma and Pa MAGA, Donald Trump called himself the jobs president. He wasn't. He was, however, the only president in the last 80 years to net job losses during his term. In fact, statistically speaking, he was the worst jobs president in history. Joe Biden has created nearly 15 million jobs, and his first 2 years in office, 2021 and 2022, were the two strongest years of job growth in history. Donald Trump promised the economy would grow to 4, 5, and maybe even 6%. It didn't. In fact, it never got above 3.5%. Under Biden, the economy grew 4.9% in the third quarter of last year alone. Donald Trump promised to lower prescription drug prices. He didn't. But Biden did. In fact, he finally beat Big Pharma and allowed Medicare to directly negotiate lower drug prices. And as a result, 4 million seniors on Medicare have now seen their insulin costs capped at $35 a month. And remember that great, big, beautiful wall Mexico was going to pay for? Well, the little that did get built was paid for by taking money from our own Defense Department, not Mexico. President Biden, on the other hand, did get Mexico to pay $1.5 billion for U.S. border security, and none of their former presidents have ever given him the finger. Certainly not multiple times. And just as an aside, when Donald Trump claimed to be the law and order president, 91 charges and a mugshot later, it turns out that he meant he would be the recipient of the most law and order. President Biden may have gotten a parking ticket once. Maybe. Not sure. The infrastructure deal Trump promised in 2 weeks, Biden delivered. The manufacturing jobs he was going to bring back, Biden returned. The corporations who never trickled down their tax breaks, Biden wants paying their fair share. And the world leaders who laughed at Donald Trump are standing in solidarity with Biden instead. Trump didn't put America first. He didn't make it great again. He put himself first in a country he was then and is now trying to destroy. He's not a self-made business genius. He's a nepotistic fraud. He's not a family man. He's a philanderer who opines about his daughter's sex life. He's not devout. He's devious. And he's not a patriot. He's a traitor. One who is currently charged with trying to overturn an election he lost by any means necessary, including violence. And while I know that when he confuses the name of the town he's in, you'll call him smart. And when he threatens to execute our top general, you'll call him strong. And when he gets arrested, you'll buy the t-shirt. And that nothing I can ever tell you or show you or prove to you will change your mind about him. But it still needs to be said. So I said it. My guest this week is actor, comedian, and broadcaster John Fugelsang, who hosts the Tell Me Everything show weekdays on Sirius XM Insight, Channel 121. He's a brilliantly funny, wildly entertaining, insightful human being, and I love talking to him. You can follow him on social media, John Fugelsang. Definitely head over to his website, johnfugelsang.com. Make sure you look for the Sexy Liberal Saves the World tour coming to a city near you, and keep an eye out for his upcoming book on using the Bible to dismantle the hypocrisy of the religious right. A fantastic conversation, and I laughed my ass off. I know you're going to enjoy. Welcome back to the Are You Effing Kidding Me podcast, John Fugelsang.
Thank you, Joanne. I'm so happy to drag your show back down to my level again.
That's not funny because I'm serious. You elevate my show, obviously, and this is your second time, I believe. Yes, your second time on my show. We don't have any three-peaters yet, so you,
right.
I'd like to keep you in the running for that in the future.
Pass on to the next heat. We'll see how I do.
That's right. We'll do a head-to-head between you and Ron Filipowski. So we'll see how you come out of that bracket.
I can Jeff Galooly that guy if he gets too far ahead of me. Don't worry.
Wow, that's a deep pull. Galooly reference. Well, I got teased because my maiden name was Malooly. So when that story broke, everyone was calling me Joanne Galooly.
Wow. But Fugelsang has no idea what a goofy name is like in that regards.
Right.
Anything beginning with F-U, they called me.
That's so sad. Okay, well, let's just jump right into last night's State of the Union. What did you think? What are your sort of takeaways, top lines? We got to talk about Biden's energy. Of course, we have to talk about Marge, and we have to get to Katie Britt. But let's just start with your overall takeaways.
I thought it was really fascinating going into it. He really had three things he had to do. He had to deal with the age thing. He had to try to remind everybody about how far we've come economically in 4 years and how substantially better we're doing now because we all seem to have COVID amnesia. Mm-hmm. And he needed to draw a sharp contrast between himself and Donald Trump. I got to say, after that speech, forget about president. I want him to host the Oscars. I'll vote for that. Like, I want to see Joe Biden do a whole tour of just crowd work where he handles the rest of us. He gave one of the greatest ideological political speeches of the past 50 years, and Donald Trump is like the evil kids at the Wonka factory tour. I mean, it was so beyond my expectations last night. He was like Jimmy Stewart as Obi-Wan Kenobi directed by Rob Reiner. Like, I mean, it was incredible. It was just not just the energy, but the construction of the speech, where the beats were placed, how he allowed himself to be loose, how he allowed himself to look like he was having fun. He destroyed every negative stereotype that Americans have heard nonstop for 3 years. He did this at age 81 with a stutter. He's 81 with a stutter. I needed a nap halfway through watching Dune, and he's 81 with a stutter. The last 5 minutes of this speech will make you cry harder than the first 5 minutes of Up. So, I didn't love everything. I would have loved it if he hadn't used the word illegals.
Yeah.
It's a slur. It's a racist slur. I was very disappointed he did it, but I acknowledge it probably helped him that he did do it.
Mm-hmm.
He completely took that argument away from those Philistines, and he positioned himself as a guy who's ready to throw whatever leftist causes under the bus he has to for the next year to be the electable moderate, because at the end of the day, it's all about a bunch of confused white people in seven states, and that's who I'm listening for. And as Donald Trump keeps on casting a smaller net, I mean, Donald Trump, the entire Republican Party keeps on auditioning for the people who are already their base, and they're not trying to go beyond. So I think Biden knew what he was doing. It was really smart. Last year, they heckled him on entitlements.
Mm-hmm.
They heckled him on tax cuts for the super rich. And both times, we've never seen this in a State of the Union. Both times, he responds to the heckling by baiting them and then trapping them on their own hypocrisy. He did it again last. That's like his free bird at these shows. So I thought it was really outstanding. And you know, if you need proof that it's a contrast between him and Trump, I mean, it's right there. It's not apples and oranges. It's apples and giant flaming globs of Satan's vomit. That's what this is.
That's true, to put it mildly. But he did. He knocked down all of the bullshit, all of those false narratives being pushed by, of course, being pushed by MAGA, but being pushed by the media largely, too. I mean, like you said, he's so senile that he was able again to get them to own themselves in a State of the Union. Like, you can't just do that on demand if you're senile. I mean, you can't just do that if you're operating at your highest level. Like, I can't just do. He's done it now twice. And this
Republicans got their slurs crossed. They got their slurs crossed again. This is what they did with Obama, Joanne. They kept saying, oh, he's this inexperienced amateur who's in over his head and a socialist mastermind. It's like they're the gang that couldn't smear straight.
right? Well, right. Also, Joe Biden's able to coordinate over the course of decades, really, every single case against Donald Trump, including the business fraud case, which goes back, you know, several years at least. But he's so senile that he was able to coordinate all that and the rise of Taylor Swift at the same time.
And the most globally powerful vice president in history, a vice president who could get every country in the world to want to fire a corrupt Ukrainian prosecutor because the job has that much power. Yeah, it's like this stuff works for the Fox audience, and every liberal has a right winger in their life that they love. And we see what this does, and how it rewires their brain, and it makes us crazy. But then we've got to remember Fox News and Twitter aren't real life. And that's reality in the bubble is the way reality is in the bubble. Yeah. We have to live outside of it. And the reality is he handled almost everything he needed to address. I was hoping he would say the word ceasefire. I didn't think it would happen. But and he had to thread the needle of saying, oh, we support Israel, we support Israel, we support Israel. But we're also going to go around Netanyahu and build this pier to start getting humanitarian aid in. It's certainly not enough. But I'll tell you, and this is his biggest weakness with his own base, but I did not expect to hear him talking about his two-state solution last night. And he saved it for the end of the speech. Mm-hmm. So I mean, if I was advising him, I would tell him to end every speech by hitting the dais and saying, and you bitches never get to touch Medicare. But he did the impossible, Joanne. He made millions of people get excited about the next 8 months.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
That's the thing. I mean, we could have that debate, though, because I'm admittedly a bit of a Biden stan, and I have been for a long time. And I have long since thought he was the person to meet this moment. But I'm glad that very glad that he had an opportunity to really showcase his absolute strengths. And he's been to more State of the Unions than pretty much anybody who's ever walked the face of the earth. He's walked the walk. And to your point about the way he ended the speech, I actually got a chance to hear some of the same structure of that. He did a Broadway for Biden event a couple of months ago. And I think he was probably, I was there. I was very lucky to have gotten a ticket to go to that. It was incredible. I cried my eyes out. And it's some of that same messaging about how, you know, we have to keep moving forward. And he believes in democracy and really what the alternative is. And that's the thing about Joe Biden. I kind of think of him as sort of this old bus. You know, he's not perfect. He's not flashy. He's in the upholstery is a little bit worn down. And he's not going to get you everything you want necessarily. But he's not taking us over this side of a cliff. You know what I mean? That's the alternative. He's a responsible steward of democracy.
And they have really finally begun to turn the age issue into a positive. I thought it was seamless last night. You know, so they're both old. I get it. They're both old, and that's fine with me. I don't really mind that Biden's old. I got no problem saying he's old, because ideologically, he's running against 95-year-old Herbert Hoover economics.
Right. Young,
mentally in this race. And, you know, I don't mind having a president who's old, because I know he's not thinking about his next job or his mistress. He's thinking about this job right now. I'll take the old guy who needs another nap over the old guy who needs another defense attorney. And he indicated that. He talked about how he sort of hinted that, you know, him versus his opponent. And there really are two kinds of old white guys. You got the old white guys who have actually learned to grow with the times and evolve and listen and learn. And then you got the old white guys who are proud to have learned nothing in 50 years. Oh, grandpa's stuck in his ways. Grandpa's stuck in his ways. That's a very polite way of saying grandpa lived through the civil rights movement and Vietnam and the Iraq war. He lived through the struggle for the ERA and LGBTQ equality, and he learned fucking nothing. Grandpa's a racist dick, and he's never changed because he's in a moral hole. Biden showed there's two ways old white guys can go. They're not all the same. And he killed it, and he crushed it, and he owned it. He did those three. He killed it and crushed it and owned it while he was on fire. He was on fire and on point and killing it, crushing it, all the things. We did them all. My expectations were so exceeded.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, mine too. And he managed also to weave in all of these sort of really important issues for the broad coalition of the people who would consider themselves being, you know, Democratic voters. Obviously, repro rights were there, repro freedom, voting rights. He talked about an assault weapons ban, which he got booed for, which is, to me, owning them again. You know, like, he talked about the economy. I think he really did talk about Israel. He talked about Ukraine, which we can't stress enough. I can't personally stress enough how terrifying the possibility is that Ukraine will fall and that Putin
opened with that. He opened with
Ukraine. Yeah, he did. Right. And because I think, as you probably agree, I mean, I don't speak for you, but that is one of the most pressing issues of this moment in history right now. What are your thoughts on that? Yeah.
Whole Republican Party with the Neville Chamberlain airborne virus, and they're all becoming more and ever greater appeasers. I mean, these people would have said, OK, well, let Hitler take Poland and Czechoslovakia and then he'll behave. I mean, I hear this argument from these amoral knobs every day. I know you do, too. They call me a SiriusXM all the time. And I always ask the same question. If a guy broke into your house and slaughtered your child and raped your wife and killed your pets, how many rooms of your house would you give him to live in so he'd start being nice to you? Because that essentially is what you're asking of Ukraine when you, couch surfing Foxbot, are demanding that they negotiate for peace while murderous troops are still in their country. It's an amazing time to be alive. It's horrifying seeing how compromised this Republican Party is because they are controlled by a man who is controlled by Vladimir Putin.
100%. And that's another stark contrast. And Biden was able to draw that contrast so much last night because this is really the first time in history that two incumbents have ever run against each other. So he could say my predecessor.
Well, Benjamin Harrison, Grover Cleveland was voted out by Benjamin Harrison and then ran against him and beat him. So this has happened once before. We've had 46 presidents, but only 45 men have been president because Grover Cleveland was the 22nd and the 24th. My dad was a history teacher and I sucked at sports. So this is how I earned his love, Joanne. So Trump's trying to be the second one to ever do it. But Biden is Benjamin Harrison position right now. And I don't think Trump's going to do it. I mean, who's going to donate money to Trump after last night in terms of big money donors?
Which he was already losing.
Who's going to donate more to him after that speech last night?
Right. Again, as you said earlier, his base is smaller. They've only contracted. It's not expanding. And now he's telling his Nikki Haley voters that he doesn't want them. So he's making it even smaller. She's trying, of course, to thread that needle.
You say his voters aren't expanding. You don't mean they're not gaining weight while the friend. Word is getting lighter.
Exactly. Yeah.
His actual supporters keep on getting bigger and bigger. Not a lot of roughage there, I got to say.
Although their wallets are getting lighter and lighter because they're still sending the billionaire their insulin money, which they no longer need to spend as much on thanks to Biden.
Yeah. And again, you know, they want to drive all the undocumented immigrants out of the country because then salads will cost $75 a piece and MAGA fans never eat salad. So it won't really hurt them too much.
Well, let's talk about immigrants for a second, because that was another big theme of last night. And Republicans, when they latch onto something, God knows, because they have nothing else to ever talk about because they don't do anything productive. They find this one issue and they ride the fuck out of it because it's all
not fair. They fired a Speaker of the House. They hired two Speakers of the House. And they censured Adam Schiff and Rashida Tlaib. That's lots of stuff they've done in the last year.
That's
look
true. I think they also changed the name of like some monument or something, or
Fort Bragg. Yeah.
They
gave up one of their Confederate monuments.
Right, shocking. But what their big thing last night has been for the last couple of weeks, basically probably 2 weeks, is the Lake and Riley say her name. Narrative, because Republicans in every school shooting, mass shooting in the last many decades, they always say it's too soon. It's too soon to talk about politics when we want to talk about guns. But an unfortunate murder happens where a young girl in Georgia is killed, allegedly, right, by someone who was here illegally. How would you say that correctly?
I don't know if he was here illegally or if he was waiting. Was he waiting for an asylum hearing? I mean, he's been and one of Donald Trump's last gifts to us in January of 2021 was that he signed an executive order not deporting any Venezuelans to thank the Venezuelan government for their support. So if this guy wasn't deported, you can thank the former host of Celebrity Apprentice for that.
Really? Well, that's an interesting counterpoint that I did not know, because that's what they say all the time, that her blood is on Joe Biden's hands because he wasn't deported. And of course, again, the hypocrisy here. But it's more than that. You said to me earlier that they're using her death, you know, as exploiting it as a propaganda tool.
Yeah, this is Benghazi, you know, except that this time it's one person so they can learn their name. For years, when these people would try to exploit the four slaughtered Americans in Benghazi, which they did for literally years. First, they did it to try to hurt Barack Obama in 2012. No, actually, first they tried to destroy Susan Rice's career over Benghazi. When that didn't work, they tried to destroy Barack Obama. When that didn't work, they tried to destroy Hillary Clinton. And every time someone would call my show, I would always ask them the same question. And when I'd be on a debate on TV, I'd ask the same question. You really care about those four men? Tell me their names. And no one could name any of them because they didn't care about those men or their suffering or their loss beyond how much they could exploit a murder for crass political profit. That's all this is about, Lake and Riley. If they found out she was a pro-choice activist with a Black Lives Matter t-shirt tomorrow, she'd be even more dead to them. Marjorie Taylor Greene, listen, I think what she's doing is perfect. I think Marjorie Taylor Greene needs to keep on behaving exactly the way she's behaving. I think Democrats were crazy to let George Santos leave the Congress. I think you have to have these people to show the contrast. Mike Johnson begged them to behave and they have no impulse control. They couldn't do it. I think it's great. This clown they've got, who's going to be the GOP nominee for governor in North Carolina.
Robinson.
Black man who's saying that black people should pay reparations to white people to thank them for bringing them over on the slave ships and the Holocaust never happened. Make these people famous. Show the clown car. Don't try to dress it up. And look, they brought in Katie Britt thinking she'd make them look good. They don't give a damn about women. It's all window dressing to them. So I say the freaks deserve to be first and foremost. Democrats should have kept George Santos in the Congress and every day picked him up by the ankles and beat the Republican caucus with him.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Marjorie Taylor helps so much with Democratic voter turnout and Democratic fundraising. Leave her alone and let her be this vulgar, batshit Nazi.
And that was actually quite funny last night when Joe Biden saw her. Took her to monitor to her face. But Mark Robinson, I think, to your point, I think he's going to be a huge driver in North Carolina because he's
49 other states, Joe. 49 other states drive people.
That's true. I mean, he also said that he wants to go back to a time when women couldn't vote. So there's that as well. But let's go back to Katie Britt for just a second, because that was extra special, that shittery right there.
Uh-oh.
I mean, what are your thoughts?
I got to be honest. I didn't get to finish watching her speech. Did she finally get to speak with the manager by the end? Before, I loved it. I thought she put the cue in Karen last night. This is Alabama. And last night, Alabama sent us a message that Tommy Tuberville is the smart one. And God, I mean, there's parts of Alabama where Katie Britt is legally a member of Mensa. I can't wait for my child to learn about her at school during Dead Inside Women's History Month. I mean, is she okay, Joanne? Is that lady okay? I was like, Katie, show me on the doll where America hurt you. I'm worried. I was like, this is like this Douglas Sirk melodrama on Vicodin. I'm watching this speech and I'm just like, no, really, what antidepressant is this an ad for? My God. The first scene in a Lifetime movie where she loses the job and then has to move back to her hometown. I mean, it was fantastic. If you're telling a horror story about cartel sex trafficking and everyone's laughing at the details, maybe you're not good at this job. That's great. Make her famous.
And the whole thing took place in her kitchen, which looks like it's never been used, by the way. In her kitchen. She's a senator.
What I know.
What is she doing in her kitchen?
She had to be in the kitchen because that's where the phone is in case she sees a black guy in the neighborhood. So I understand why it was there.
And by the way, it's not, I don't want to laugh, but the trafficking story, the number of times she said over and over and over and over, I was like, are we okay? Like,
I mean, I got to say, I don't want to vote for her, but I would love her across space and time and a bridge across forever to infinity and beyond. I mean, my God, she was like a someone who's read a little too many Harlequin romance novels and is mixing the wrong meds. It was so cynical. You know, they just thought, okay, she's young and female. This will distract from the fact that people who are young and female hate us. And it showed how cynical, I mean, my God, I never thought I'd say have Josh Hawley do it instead. But wow. I mean, they stepped in it so badly last night. I got to be honest, horrible Republican rebuttal speeches is becoming my favorite genre of short film. Bobby Jindal is still way up here, but Marco Rubio, Paul Ryan, and she joins the ranks. It was great TV.
When Sarah Sanders is like the gold standard of Republican responses, it's not really the best look.
There's no way to parody this. I mean, you can't make a sketch out of this. You can't do it in a more bizarre way than it's already been. And you got to remember, presumably they signed off on this. Presumably someone in authority read this speech, signed off on it. I mean, I like that this is happening within 24 hours of Lara Trump being put in charge of looting the RNC for Donald Trump's legal bills. It's just boy, they can pick him, and I say stay out of their way.
I 100% agree. That apparently that speech, well, it was so bad and so weird. It was such a train wreck. They're not even, the GOP's not even clipping it. They're using these graphics quotes on them. And the graphics themselves are beyond parody. I did try and parody it, by the way. What I did was I went with the domestic jobs kind of, where she's giving the response while cleaning the toilet and scrubbing the shower and just all the menial tasks of like domestic goddesshood. But also that Fundy baby voice that she did. I mean, terrifying, right? Like, terrifying. But I agree with you. I think that that actually was one of the biggest gifts we got of the night, was just how awful that was.
Yeah. I mean, she did so. I mean, I keep saying at this point, the way these Republicans are doing, this old man can campaign for re-election in a bathrobe and slippers. I mean, Joe Biden could be in a hospital gown that's open and he's drooling. And he'd be, I mean, he could have an alien popping out of his chest while he's playing Freebird on air guitar, and he'd be more presidential than anything the Republicans can put up. It's just, we're going to look back on this year and think, why were we so panicked for so long? Why were we so gaslit? Because Biden's old and the media is lazy.
Yep. Bingo. I mean, that is exactly what it is. Plus, you know, I do believe that they want the horse race, and they want the conflict, and they want the uncertainty and the polling. And yeah,
Trump-sized 2016 to 2020 ratings back. And Donald Trump can't even fill his own rallies the way he used to anymore. That's not going to come back. What scares me more is the fact that every evil dictator in the world wants Donald Trump. I mean, maybe the one thing Hamas and Netanyahu can agree on is they want Donald Trump, and North Korea wants him. The Saudi royal family wants Trump back. Putin wants Trump back. Scary things going to come this fall, because OPEC's cutting oil production again. Really. So the supply will go down, and they're doing this so gas prices will be as high as possible by the late summer, early fall. That to me is Joe Biden's greatest danger now, is gas prices. But we are now at a point also where, and again, sorry libs, but when a Democrat seeking re-election, just prepare yourself, America's now producing more fossil fuels than any country ever has any year in the history of the planet.
Yeah, it's a message that they don't like to talk about all that often, but when push comes to shove, you got to do what you got to do. Again, the democracy is at stake here, and they're going to probably up the deportations too, because that's yet another thing. They've deported a lot of people. They don't talk about that very much again because it doesn't message well. But this idea that the world's worst actors have, you know, Trump as their obvious favorite should scare all of us. And obviously he's saying he'll be a dictator on day one, and he will disband NATO, essentially, certainly pull out of NATO.
Well, and welcome Sweden, by the way. But yeah, I got to agree with you. You know, I would really love to see a Democrat one day call the Republicans out on their immigration hypocrisy. Those people cross our border for one reason. There is a gigantic sign in neon lighting saying help wanted. That's why they cross the border. There is no wall you can ever build that's big enough to hide our giant, brightly lit, help wanted sign. And the Republican Party will never do anything to take down the help wanted sign. And this is how you talk about this to your right wing coworkers and loved ones. If Republicans wanted border crossings to end, they could do it in a month. Start incarcerating every white person who hires an illegal. Everyone who hires yard work or nannies or housekeepers or meat processing plants or farms that pick our produce. The fact is, if you didn't have this exploitable, brown-skinned, marginalized working labor force, our produce costs would be through the roof. The price of our meat would be through the roof. We're all part of the same hypocrisy. So I wish Democrats would just call it out, but they're part of it too, I guess. I mean, Republicans, whenever they raid a meat processing plant and they talk about, oh, they arrested 700 illegal aliens, they never arrest the guys in the back counting all the money. And Donald Trump has hired undocumented immigrants because he doesn't like paying a living wage to American-born workers in two different centuries. Trump Tower was built by undocumented Polish immigrants. But the Republicans will say nothing about this, and it shows they, like Benghazi, they don't care beyond how much they can exploit it.
Right. And just like, again, with the bipartisan border immigration bill that they asked for, that they demanded, and then they killed because Donald Trump told them to kill it. Katie Britt was one of the people who tried to negotiate that bill, and she, right, yeah, I mean, it's...
But Amnesty International called this bill out for being so mean and accused Biden of being as cruel as Trump.
Wow.
And still wasn't enough for Republicans. They don't care because they don't want solutions. And that was a major theme of the speech last night, that they just don't. And they're all hostages. I mean, if you come out and say, I want to work with the other side to make things better for my constituents, you'll get primaried by someone more racist than you. So if they do their jobs, they lose their jobs. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have to deal with.
And what we've seen this past week is it basically feels like the final like capitulations, like they've all sort of abdicated. Now we've got McConnell, who had no real reason, I can't understand what his motivation was in endorsing Trump. He didn't have to do it. He's leaving leadership. He's not long for the Senate at all, but he endorsed him still. And then Sununu today endorsed him. And of course,
Sununu's always been an empty suit. Sununu likes to play this little maverick cosplay character, and it's embarrassing. He's a party hack, just like his mediocre father, and he seems to think he's somehow special. McConnell, you know, you kind of thought Trump being racist dozens of times to his wife might sway him in some way, but if Mitch McConnell had a soul, he wouldn't be Mitch McConnell. So, again, it's all acceptable to him. January 6th, acceptable to him. All of it. All of it.
I mean, this him and Cruz letting Trump, you know, degrade their wives and demean their wives. And there's no honor in that.
No, never. They're all spineless cowards and they deserve to be called out for it. And I think it's great that, you know, Mitch McConnell leaving after all these years, and he found a way to make sure no one felt any respect for him at all whatsoever. You know, the media tried to write these lionizing columns about this giant of the Senate. Fuck that. He's been a mediocre hack his entire life. He made the world worse. He made the Senate worse. He made America worse. And right to the end, he showed himself to be a moral vacuum.
Yep. Although he's a moral vacuum who made sure to protect his own seat should he have to leave suddenly, because the governor now has to appoint one of their three candidates that have to come from the party that the previous senator came from, and their Democratic governor, by the way, Democrat governor who's very popular, will then have to choose between three Republicans, because Mitch McConnell is evil in that way.
Well, I hope he enjoys his retirement and he has a lot of time to, you know, stare into the Ark of the Covenant, because I think that's... My God, I always... Darth Vader fucked Elmer Fudd. Then you'd have Mitch... Be very, very quiet. I'm abstracting Blazit ads. Ah. That's the only way I can understand these people anymore, Joanne. My child asked me to explain Republicans, and I have to just fall back on if this fucked this. You know, that. What do you mean, Dad? Well, look at Donald Trump. If Mr. Burns from The Simpsons fucked a pro wrestler. Oh, I think I get it, Dad. But what about Ted Cruz? Oh, my child. Well, if a televangelist fucked the ShamWow guy, then you'd have Ted Cruz. Oh, I think I see, Dad, but what about Rudy? Oh, well, Rudy, child, I'm so glad you asked. Rudy's sort of like if an alcoholic leprechaun with rickets fucked a rabid ferret that's also alcoholic. And this is how I have to explain Republicans for my children.
Yeah, but, you know, it says it all. Oh, my God. Sometimes I do that if Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley had a love child, and then I take it to and Marge Green and Stephen Miller got to raise it.
Ah.
I sometimes do that, up it a little bit there, and then I deprive them of all their toys and take it to the next level, kept them in the cage in the basement sort of thing. So you get.
Sounds like you'd raise a white supremacist who would destroy the concept of white supremacy.
Right. Yeah, all while harvesting human organs, I think, somehow.
Across California, school food professionals are using their skills to develop recipes that incorporate fresher ingredients and more scratch cooking. Learn how they're cooking up change at schoolfoodpros.org. Grant provided by California Community College's Chancellor's Office.
Okay, well, on that note, I'm going to pivot really fast to my rapid-fire random question round. John, are you ready?
No, I'm not ready. I resent that.
These are very serious. Okay, Who lasts longer in a zombie apocalypse, Marge Green or Tommy Tuberville?
Ooh, I gotta say Marge because she'll be able to pass. Tommy'd be food day one. By the way, the zombies would spit him out. I want to point that out. The zombies would say, "You know what? We'll keep looking. We'll keep looking."
This one, something wrong with spoiled. Not this one. This tastes so good. The zombies like, I feel dumber. They have no brains, but they'll feel dumber. Or do they have brains?
Yeah. No brains?
Sorry, hold on. Okay. Which Supreme Court justice has the wildest internet search history?
Oh, man. That's a great one. I want to say, by the way, Clarence Thomas wasn't there last night, was he?
Neither was Alito.
Found one thing he could recuse himself from. it's got to be.
Why didn't I think of that? I was trying to come up with a damn Thomas joke all night, and you had that one sitting there. Damn it.
I guess it's got to be John Roberts. I mean, I want to say something funnier, but you know it's John Roberts. You know there's stuff on his hard drive that would get him. He wouldn't be allowed to leave the country of Turkey, okay? Like. You know there's stuff on John Roberts' hard drive.
You're not Kagan, though, huh? You know, she's got some freaky shit going on?
No, I don't. And Kagan, you know, everyone always accuses her of being lesbian all the time. I do not think Elena Kagan is lesbian. I think whoever cuts her hair is lesbian. I love Elena Kagan.
I thought her hair was just an extension of her robe. No, not. It's not just she pulled. Oh, okay. My bad. Sorry. No offense. You're great. We love you. Your hair. This is another conversation.
I thought with Alito and Thomas staying home would be a great time for Biden to add three more Supreme Court judges during the speech, but we didn't quite get that far.
Well, he could have, because, I mean, if all things, well, depending on how things go, I mean, he'd be immune from any sort of prosecution as long as he doesn't get convicted in the Senate, sort of, right? So basically, all bets are off at this point.
All FDR did was threaten to do it, and they backed down. I want to point that out. FDR never really tried to do it. He just threatened to do it, and they stopped blocking the New Deal after he did.
I would like a little Supreme Court oversight would be nice, but I digress.
That's so too, but yeah, right? Apparently we don't get to have that there or the White House. The founders missed having kings is what I've learned from the Republic.
Yeah.
Founders really missed having a king who was above all laws.
It does seem that way, doesn't it? It's like, and we just never had anybody who was so depraved that they kind of found all those cracks and crevices, I guess.
I think we probably had a lot of depraved people, but they weren't as messy as Donald Trump, you know? Yeah. If he had just stayed a grifter in New York real estate, laundering money for the Russians and banging hookers, he would have escaped scrutiny. I mean, but he had to run for a job that was under the brightest spotlight and the biggest microscope in the world. And now all of his shenanigans, you can't get away with it. But I will say it's pretty amazing. He ripped off banks, he ripped off insurance companies, and he ripped off the IRS, and he's still not likable. That should be a folk hero, but nope.
Okay, last random question. Oh, since we're talking about him anyway, how many of his grandkids do you think Donald Trump can name?
Oh, that's a great one. Haha. I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty sure he calls Matt Gaetz Baron, so I don't really... Well, he would. If I could interview Donald Trump, you know, the first thing I would ask him would be to name his children's birthdays.
Right.
You know? I'm sure he doesn't know. I'm sure he knows Ivanka's because he buys very expensive jewelry for her. But the rest of them, I bet he doesn't. And it's okay because I really want Donald Trump to live long enough to see those grandchildren begin changing their last names so they can find employment in this country, because that's going to happen.
It is. It is going to happen. And
he's going to live long enough to see grandkids change their name. And I hope to see Barron rebel so hard. Barron is going to pierce body parts we haven't even thought of yet. Humiliate dad. It's going to be beautiful.
I would really like to see him in drag, Baron. I'd like to see him go, yeah, a drag librarian would be the best arc for Baron.
I mean, just wear a Black Lives Matter t-shirt. That's all you got to do. He'll be thrown out of Mar-a-Lago.
That's right. Okay, so tell me, you have, of course, your show, Tell Me Everything. These are all the things you're working on. You've got that. You've got the sexy liberal Save the World tour.
Yes, it's the first time we've done, you know, we've been doing the Sexy Liberal Tour for over 10 years. And we've played some of the best theaters in America, and we've had all kinds of great guests join us on stage. Lily Tomlin has done this show 3 or 4 times. Rob Reiner's done it like 10. We've had Nancy Pelosi on stage with us. I got Margaret Cho and Daryl Hammond to come do gigs with us. But we haven't really done like a real tour in 7 years. We've just done like a few gigs a year. So we are going out and doing a bunch of dates from Minneapolis to Philly to Kansas City to D.C., Seattle, Boston. We're going to be playing in Chicago the week of the convention. It's really, really exciting. The great thing about this tour is, you know, so many parts of this country, people can't have a Obama or a Biden bumper sticker on their car when they go to their job or their church. You're in this audience and you look around the room and see 2,000 people and realize, oh my God, these are all liberal people in my home state. Like there's no red hats. There's no MAGAs here. And it is the most moral and yet the most morally depraved party you will ever imagine. It's a bunch of good people being horrible and laughing at horrible things. It's a party every night. Hal Sparks, Frangela, Stephanie, and myself. It's such a riot. And we're going to be raising money for local causes in every city we go to. And that whole thing is going to kick off. We did a show last month in, we started in San Francisco, but we're going to be kicking everything off in Minneapolis at the beautiful Pandagus Theater on April 13th. And you can go to sexyliberal.com or Live Nation, because this year we've decided for the first time to partner with Live Nation and see how that goes. We've always done it independently. So this year we're working with the big boys.
That's awesome. I'm so excited. I will be able to be in attendance for the Chicago show. So I'm very excited. I am attending that one. So I'm very excited. That'll be my first
Live Show in Chicago, because we'll be broadcasting backstage from the convention.
Yay. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. This sounds fantastic. And just in time, you know, this is the perfect time for people to have something like that, you know, as everybody's sort of on edge and worried and we need to laugh more than ever.
Seriously. I mean, John Lennon always said the two things fascists can't handle are nonviolence and ridicule. And honestly, I mean, to me, this is what it's all about. Billy Wilder, I'm going to be a quote machine. Billy Wilder said, if you're going to tell people the truth, make it funny or they'll kill you. And that's been my ethos for a long time with religion and with politics. And I'm so thrilled to be going out on this tour. It's going to be a really exciting year. And I just feel like comedy is the best way to push back against these goons.
Agreed. And we all know how that gets under Donald Trump's skin and is very effective in that way. And he just kind of spirals even more than he already does. So that is incredibly, incredibly effective. But you're also writing a book.
Yes, I'm working on a book with Simon & Schuster's Avid Reader Press division, and it's all about how to use the Bible when debating a right-wing fundamentalist or Christian nationalist. It's called Separation of Church and Hate, and it's a book about how the right wing is against the teachings of Jesus on every point that divides us, from immigration to abortion to LGBTQ issues to economic policy. They do not fight for anything Jesus actually talked about. His name is used as a prop. His teachings are rejected. And so it's a book about how you can actually quote scripture when debating your bigoted loved one or coworker.
Oh, my God. I need that. I need that. I need that. Desperately need that. Who doesn't need that? But like, that's the thing that I'm always like, oh, this is so hypocritical. This is just, it's so hate-filled. All of the things that they're trying to push are just driven by so much hate. And that can't possibly be consistent with the teachings of Jesus as they quote all the time.
The only commandment in the entire Bible about immigration or borders is the commandment in the Old Testament and the New Testament to welcome the stranger. That's it. So if these people were Christians, they'd be at the border with blankets and water for these Christian refugees. I don't call them illegals. That's a slur that we've decided is very acceptable here. I've never heard a white lawbreaker called an illegal once. They're Christian refugees. And that's not me saying open borders. Ronald Reagan was the guy who fought for open borders. That's me saying, if you're going to claim to be Christian and then you're going to be brutal to refugees, brutal to trans children, brutal to women who have abortions when the Bible never bans abortion and Jesus never mentions it, if you're going to criminalize abortion rights, which Jesus never mentioned because you're so Christian, but you're going to support the death penalty, which Jesus actually opposed, then the rest of us are no longer obliged to take your claims of piety seriously. This is a book about how to take their camouflage away.
It's brilliant. And to your point about, like, especially Alabama with this whole IVF ridiculousness, and the week before, I think they had or a couple of weeks before, they'd executed that man with the nitrous gas, I guess,
and first time humans have ever legally, have ever murdered a human with nitrogen. Yeah. And we had his spiritual advisor, the Reverend Jeff Hood, on my show that week. And nitrogen gas will only kill you if you're in a chamber. If you're strapped down on a table and wearing a mask, you're going to thrash around. Air is going to get into the mask and it's going to be torture. And that man thrashed around and took 22 minutes to die, legally murdered by tax dollars by people who falsely pretend to be Christian. The death penalty is the most stark example of rejecting the teachings of Jesus. He overturns eye for an eye in Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says that that only sinless people have a right to execute, and he stops an execution. It is, and if there was no death penalty, hey, Jesus might still be here. So yeah, this is Alabama. They deserve to be called out for it.
And you of course, you're going to be doing the book and the tour all while you still have your show. So you're still going to be hosting the show.
Yes. Every night on SiriusXM, Eddie Izzard joins us tonight to talk about her big performance and her solo show of Hamlet. It's me and Dame Susie Eddie Izzard talking about Hamlet for about 40 minutes straight. And we're still getting great guests over there at SiriusXM. We're on every night at What the Fuck O'Clock. But you can hear it the next day for free on our podcast, available wherever podcasts are available.
Awesome. Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited for everything that you have coming up. I'm very, very excited for that book because I'm going to keep that book like with me at all times because I want to constantly be able to call them out on their hypocrisy on that. And I think that is going to be an invaluable resource to that end. So I'm excited for the tour. I'm excited for the show. I'm excited for the book. I'm so glad you got to join me again and that we got to chat and that you made me laugh. Much as I've laughed in a really long time. So I really appreciate that. I really appreciate that. I know you're going to make the listeners laugh as well.
Well, let's not get too crazy. I'll settle for their you know, pity chuckles.
Okay. Well, I don't think you're going to get those. But again, that does it for this week's episode of the Are You Effing Kidding Me podcast. John Fugelsang, thank you once again for the generosity of your time and for everything that you do and all the energy you put out there in the universe.
And thank you for everything that you do and for inspiring so many of us with your morality and your filthy mind. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's so filthy. It's so filthy. I didn't get to really be that filthy today. Next time, folks, I promise. Okay, bye.
Are You Effing Kidding Me? Is a production of the Political Voices Network. Please visit us at politicalvoicesnetwork.com.